The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Right, welcome back to Ballykilcavan Farm and Brewery here in County Laois. We're here as part of the News Talk summer tour, and I'm joined right beside me by News Talk's political correspondent Sean Defoe. You're welcome to Laois.
Thanks, Emil. I wish you'd passed on the memo. We weren't supposed to touch the bar in the corner. That would have been helpful
no,
to know 20 minutes ago.
I hope you didn't, because you could get us in big trouble. Like, we have a clock with a timer on this, Sean. Stay away from the beer taps.
I just get this close to Stradbally and I get that urge to pop a can and sit in a camp chair, you know.
I know. I think we all do. And today is the day for it. But we are talking about what's happening at Cabinet today with you, because there's a busy agenda up the road in Dublin. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is this news that Ireland is going to invest in these huge AI gigafactories. Now, before anybody has a panic, these are not going to be built, as far as we know, in Ireland, but we are investing along with the rest of the EU. Is that right?
Yes. So there's no massive panic that there's going to suddenly be this massive, mighty morphing data centre somewhere in the Midlands or anywhere else. And even the name of it, gigafactories, I had to go and look it up to see exactly what they were. It's essentially a massive data centre, absolutely huge, requires the energy of about 200,000 homes to run these things. Absolutely massive. There's only about 200 of them in the world. 82% of them are in China, actually, at the minute. And what they're being used for is to train AI models. So to farm all of this information from across the internet and everywhere else and train up the likes of your Claudes and your ChatGPTs. And that's why the European Union is interested, because right now they're predominantly in China and the US. And we are taking advantage of this AI revolution, but we're being fed stuff that's controlled by those other powers.
And there is a move at an EU level to sort of claw back some of the tech control, isn't there? Is this part of that?
100%, yeah. So they're up to 20 billion euro is going to be spent by the EU in AI and on these giga centres, these giga factories as well, because we can't rely on the US anymore as a reliable partner. And we obviously know China, Russia, other world actors all want their own influence on the EU. And the EU officials are very, very worried about that. Where Ireland comes into this is we're not going to host one, because frankly it would destroy the electronic grid and so controversial data centres anyway, the small ones, let alone the massive big ones. But we are going to invest 10 to 20 million euro, Minister James Lawless is bringing this to Cabinet this morning, into one that's going to be built in France, with the view that Irish researchers and academics would then have access to it and be able to use it and train up language models that we might be using and AI that we might be using here. A total of 5 of them planned to be built across Europe, and basically they want a piece of it, but know that politically there's not a hope in hell Ireland could ever
of it being built
host
here.
One.
Okay, now we move on to pharmacies being given additional responsibilities around contraception and the free contraceptive scheme. So this is about taking the pressure off GPs, is it, and allowing the pharmacists to do more?
Yeah, you might remember there's a memo a few months ago from Jennifer Carl McNeill with 8 other things, including conjunctivitis medicine that pharmacists would be able to provide and prescribe without you having to go to a GP. And what the department is saying essentially is they want pharmacists to act up, is maybe the wrong way to put it, to the full nature of their qualifications, and to do as much as they can to take pressure off of areas where GPs are quite hard to find. So,
and they're so highly qualified, and there was always a sense that maybe those skills weren't being used to best effect. So
completely.
Here we go.
And even you go into a pharmacist, they'll advise you as well or better than any GP if you need something for a dodgy toe or whatever it happens to be. In this case, it's the free contraceptive scheme. The change is, so you'll still have to go to a GP to get your first prescription, and at the moment any renewal has to be done by a GP. Now the pharmacist will be able to do it, so you visit the GP once and after that it's all done in the pharmacy. It needs a change in legislation because the state is paying for the free pharmacy scheme, so it's probably going to be introduced into the Dáil before the summer recess and then passed in the autumn, but it'll just make things a little bit easier.
Okay, so that's happening at Cabinet today as well. The Taoiseach is bringing a mortgage arrears review, and this shows that mortgage arrears are at their lowest level since 2009. What's going on?
There's two really weird and contradictory reports out this morning. So on one hand, Simon Harris has this news that there is a 17% decrease to 36,000 people in mortgage arrears across the country, or mortgages more than people. That's down from 42,000 at the end of 2024. The number in long term, so that's more than a year, is down to 16,000 compared to 19,000 again at the end of 2024. And that represents about 3.1% of all mortgages are in arrears of some kind of more than 90 days across the state, and that's the lowest since 2009. Interesting that prices are about to eclipse the amount of 2009, yet the mortgage arrears are lower. The contrary report is from Bernardos, who have done a survey today that shows that more than a third of people are in energy arrears, on their energy bills and unable to pay that, and that I think it's something like 16% of families have borrowed to pay for food or electricity bills or something else over the last year. So people seem to be prioritising the mortgage payments. If you are under pressure financially, which a lot of families are at the moment, prioritising the mortgage and the roof above your head and other things like electricity or maybe not meeting the bill.
I'd love to see the correlation between people who are renting and people who are in energy arrears, because we know, don't we, that often if you're paying rent, it's higher than repaying a mortgage. So there could be some overlap there, or there could be an interesting statistic to play out.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe perhaps if you have a mortgage, you have a house, you're more likely to be able to afford your bills. You're more likely to have that bit of extra money. And if you're stuck in the rent trap as well as facing all the additional costs, I mean, there's some absolutely remarkable data in that Bernardo's report this morning. I found that 30% of parents surveyed felt at some point they didn't have enough food to feed their children. That's up from 28% in 2025, which, you know, Ireland in the year we're in is remarkable. A third of people not knowing if they had enough food to feed their kids on any given day.
Okay, now we move on to other news emerging today. We have a visitor coming to Ireland today, the President of the European Parliament, Roberta Metsola. This is all ahead of the big changeover on the 1st of July when Ireland takes control of the EU presidency. Is that what this is paving the road towards that date?
Get ready for the airplanes from Brussels to just line up and start hitting Dublin Airport, because they're all going to come in from now. And Roberta Metsola, and I think it's called the College of Presidents, which sounds very fancy, but it's basically the presidents of all the different political party groupings in the European Parliament, including Billy Kelleher, who'll be here leading the ALDE group. So they're meeting with the president this morning, Catherine Connolly. They're going to meet the Taoiseach later, members of the Oireachtas and ministers, and do a press conference this evening. And like that, it's, hi, we're in Ireland, we're going to be here for 6 months from the 1st of July, and here's our priorities, which include defence spending, include AI as well. She's going to be talking about that today to tie in with what we were saying about the giga factories. And it's going to keep coming. All the commissioners, Ursula von der Leyen, they're all due. And then every obscure minister for, you know, junior minister for energy from Croatia or wherever it is, they're all going to be here over the next 6 months.
I know there's a hope that we're going to get a tourism benefit off the back of this 6 month period. It is costing us a lot of money, though. What is the opportunity for Ireland in the EU presidency?
It's a very good question. It's costing an awful amount, 160 to 180 million to host before you factor in security. So that's before Garda overtime, before all the rest of it. So easily a quarter of a billion euro to host. I asked this of the Taoiseach. The question I put to him is, why should anyone care? Why should someone who's listening to this, driving a van today, care we're going to have the European presidency for 6 months? And he sort of said, look, we're proud Europeans, we're members of the European, we have to host it. We actually don't really have a choice. You have to host it every 13 years. But also it's a chance when we're seeing uncertainty in the UK, massive uncertainty in the US, the Middle East, for Ireland to shape the agenda of the European Union. The European budget, 7-year budget, is going to be negotiated while we're present. So again, a chance to put a stamp on that. But I think having the European officials explain it as to why everyone who's here in Laois today looking forward to maybe a pint in the sun later should care, that's a big job that they have.
Okay. We're also in Brexit anniversary week, aren't we?
Yeah.
Today was the day 10 years ago when British people went to the polls, and then we woke up on the 24th, 10 years ago, to that stunning news that Brexit had passed. And, you know, we have seen everything that has happened since. But our politicians here are reflecting on it, and all of them saying this was a bad move for Britain. I know the conversation isn't the same over there. There are still some who support it, but it does seem, that, doesn't it, Sean, that there is more of a realisation in Britain that it wasn't a great idea.
Yeah, but you kind of, when you make a bad decision, but you don't really want to admit you've made that bad decision, like, you know, you bought a new car or something and it wasn't all it was cracked up to be, and you're trying to justify it to the wife, like, it's not great. I'll actually never forget the morning, because I was reading News Talk early morning bulletins that day. And such was the sign that we all thought this was done. It was never going to pass. The news editor was off. The deputy news editor was off. Half of the people were in the building were on their holidays. And we went to bed with Nigel Farage conceding it was over, and woke up to, oh my God, what has just happened? Get on the phones. And me as a panicked 22-year-old, as I was at the time, trying to pull it all together. But look, I thought Simon Coveney was really interesting on with Anton this morning. It's worth listening back to. Like, it was a bad move. And actually, economically, internationally, we've all done quite well here in Ireland since. It hasn't been anywhere near as bad as it could have been. The UK is going to its fifth prime minister in 4 years. It's not exactly worked out.
But at least now they're prepared to talk about it, because for a period of time, you could not, in British politics, mention Brexit. Nobody wants to touch it. that's changing.
It's starting to change. I was in, my brother lives in the UK, and I was over there at Christmas with him, and there are still those who absolutely don't want to talk about it. It was a great decision, and anyone who tells you otherwise is lying to you. But you only have to go through, and you know, I went through some of the north of England while I was there. We don't see that kind of poverty in Ireland anymore. The towns that used to be run down around the country, and people will, you know, complain about some towns and how they're treated and the money they get, it is not comparable.
It's a different level in the UK.
It's a completely different level of poverty than we see in most cases here. And whoever, if it's Andy Burnham, it's probably going to be Andy Burnham who takes over. He's dealing with a pretty empty pack of cards. It's mm-hmm. a budget with a massive hole in it. You had ministers quitting over not having more defence spending. And the UK's international political dominance is gone. As Simon Coveney said earlier, they're a middle power. They're not what they used to be, but still have that mindset that they should be at the absolute top tier without the money to do it. You kind of sometimes have to reflect and go, maybe we're not so bad here after all.
Well, Simon Coveney's interview with Anton, available on the Go Loud app. And also we were speaking on this programme to Neil Richmond yesterday, who had a similar take on it. You can listen back to that too. News Talk's political correspondent, Sean Deveau, thank you very much for travelling all the way to Laois.
I'm going to go find a 99.
Yeah, well, listen, you know where to get it now. We have the woman here from the Gala shop in Stradbally.
They're sorted.
Waiting for you. Raspberry sauce, one flake, Sean.
And maybe two flakes for the day that's in it. You don't go wild.
We'll all
celebrate Brexit.
Thank you so much, Sean Deveau.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.